It's learning how to live a generous life and also learning how generous God is and appreciating that. And today is part three, and Pastor Carl will be bringing the message right after this little testimony about how generosity changed some people's lives. Watch this video, enjoy it, and then Pastor Carl is going to bring us the message.
Church of Hollands came in to this campus in September 2011. In October, they bought their random acts of kindness cards in. I didn't have a little bit of money left in my account, which I was blessed to get. The Lord spoke to me. He said, "You're going to give it away." I said, "Huh?" He said, "You're going to bless some people with the little bit you got." He told me that find people that don't get nothing for Christmas. So I start collecting items, bar of soap, razor blade, some razors, chips, cookies, little act of random kindness card, and index card. On the index card, I put John 3:16. And when we started passing the bags out to them, they were in shock that you actually would give me something. I said, "It's not me giving to you. I was instructed to give to you by the Lord. Jesus told me to find people, and he led me to you." They started crying, which made me cry. And I invited them to a Christmas service. They came, all of them coming. Some still coming today. God led me to do what I did, to show them what God's love really is. I don't need everything, the material things no more, because God's provided me everything I need. If I have a little thing, I'll bless somebody. But in turn, I get the blessing back two and three times more. I don't want nothing in return, because I'm going to get mine in heaven. My treasures are stored up in heaven. I don't need nothing now. God is the one that put it on my heart to do it. With that little card, with that one card, changed my life around. And that's why I think that generosity is, because it don't have to be money all the time. It don't have to be food items or anything like that. It can be your time. Let a person talk to you. Let him talk, and you listen to him. Maybe that's all it needs. It's somebody to talk to. That's what generosity is all about.
Well, he preached my whole sermon, so I can sit down now. Well, how's everybody doing? Nice, cool morning. Yeah. Well, this is part three of the generous life. I like to expand it a little bit to the generous lifestyle, because that's what he's called us to have, is a generous lifestyle. So we're going to talk about this morning. And this is a topic that's dear to my heart, partly because I've been in business for most of my life. I'm self-employed and have our own business. And back in 1988, Brendan and I ventured out into business in Atlanta, and it failed. So we can relate to it, from the failure to the recovery to the blessings of God that came after it. And if I have time at the end, I'll give you some things that I learned during that time that just completely changed my life. So let's start off with our first scripture, and it is 2 Corinthians 9:11. It says that you will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. And, you know, God wants us to be enriched in everything. And that's going to be kind of the theme today as we talk about the generous lifestyle. Now, our first main passage that we want to talk about is Luke 10, 30 through 37. And if you have been a Christian a while, you're probably familiar with this passage, but it's still an awesome teaching that Jesus gave about generosity. I'm going to read it. Just follow along with me, and we're going to have a few comments afterwards. And this is the story that Jesus said. Jesus replied and said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And then by chance, a priest was going down on that road, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by the other side. But a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion. And he came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them, and he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you.' So which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands? This is what Jesus asked. And he said, the one who showed mercy toward him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do the same. That's just an awesome passage. And one of the reasons it's awesome is because if you've read the stories in the New Testament, Jesus likes to talk about Samaritans. Now, Samaritans are important because Samaritans were what the Jews felt like were just trash. Nobody wanted to mess with them. They didn't like them. They were the people on the other side of the track, so to speak. Nobody liked Samaritans. But Jesus loved to pick stories about people that nobody liked. He liked to pick people about people in sin, people that were tax collectors, people that were the Levites, people they did not like. He loved to tell how much he loved them. So that's what number one on this. So let's look at a couple things about that. If you have your little handout that we put on your chairs, we have a fill-in-the-blank section. If you'd like to take notes, you can walk along with us on that. And so these are the marks of a generous life that we saw here in this story. And it really is inside of every one of us. Number one, in your first blank there, you can fill it in. It's the word love that looks beyond itself. And a couple things in the passage we just looked at. In verse 34, it said that the Samaritan man came to him. He came to him. It's a very short little part there, but he came to him. In other words, he saw him where the other religious people, they wanted to ignore him because they didn't like, you know, doing things like this, but the Samaritan was full of compassion, and he came to him. He made the effort to walk to the man. It's an important thing. And then he took care of him. He bandaged his wounds. He took him to the inn. But he didn't even just stop there. He did what I call he walked the extra mile. He made sure that this man was going to recover. He gave money to the innkeeper, and he said, if there's any extra, when I get back, I'll take care of him. So that's what we do as believers in Christ. We walk the extra mile. So it says in Colossians 3:12, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Notice it says put on. I mean, we have to make an effort. We have to think about it. Because, you know, we're not just born loving everybody. We have what the Bible calls a sinful nature. It's self-protecting. That has some good qualities about it, but it doesn't always want to think about other people. So we have to put on this heart of compassion. Amen? All right, number two, what's the next mark of a generous life? It's in your fill in the blank there. It says, willing to invest time in others. Time to others. Ecclesiastes 3:17 says, I said to myself, God will judge both the righteous man and the wicked man, for a time for every matter and for every deed is there. You can say it's here, too. There is a time for every deed. Now, so, you know, generosity is not just about money. Actually, it's not really about money. It's about an attitude and a lifestyle of giving yourself, going the extra mile, thinking about others, being generous to others. And it involves your time. It does require a sacrifice a lot of times. So I wrote down a couple of things that you might want to invest your time in. You might want to do counseling. Maybe God has given you a gift to do counseling. Or just a listening ear. Sometimes you have relatives and friends that they just need to have someone to listen to. You know what I'm talking about? We all go through times. We need people to listen to us. That's a wonderful opportunity, and it means a lot to people. Service projects. There's plenty of things you can do around town. Plenty of things you can do for people. We have them here at Victory Church. Maybe you can help seniors. Sometimes seniors need you to do projects for them around their house or something. So look for that opportunity as well. Or maybe you can help maybe a handicapped or disabled person. So to further illustrate that, we have a little video for you that'll queue up now. Let's watch this story.
Person of the week. Sitting in the crowd of thousands at the Arizona Diamondbacks game, a 12-year-old boy watching the game, about to do something that would catch not only their eyes in the announcer's booth, but ours too. We couldn't believe what we were seeing.
It was the fourth inning. A player tosses a ball into the stands. Two little boys wanted it, but only Ian McMillan would get it.
Oh, look at that young Brewers fan. Now, wait a minute. He is. Did he get?
No.
Oh, boy.
He is sour. He is sour. The Diamondback fan got it.
The announcer's watching with their own play-by-play.
Oh, he's bummed.
Are you kidding me? This kid's going to do this?
Oh, yeah. That is big time.
Oh, my goodness.
What a nice young man.
Well, he's got a Diamondbacks hat, but we have to get something for that kid in the red. I can't believe I just witnessed that.
That is awesome.
You young man are a star.
The game would go on, Ian having given up his prized catch, but then a phone call. It seemed someone had seen his kindness on TV.
He's being told right now that he's being praised on TV.
Yeah, he's big league.
Late today, we met Ian too.
I thought it was the right thing to do. Like, I saw the kid, he was really sad, so I decided just to give the ball back. And my mom and my dad, taught me that way, so it's kind of just, natural.
Ian didn't leave that game empty-handed. Moments after giving that ball away, the announcers had a special gift for the fan, a baseball bat signed by his favorite player.
Upped an autographed bat and a contract for the generous Ian and his buddies.
The box was really, really cool. I was, really surprised, and, I did not see that coming.
He's got good home training.
That's a very well-bred young man.
If you do good things will happen to you.
Reminding us all that often what you give,
nice going, young man,
delivers far more in return than even a little boy could imagine.
And so we choose Ian McMillan with a lesson for us all. And we learned late today that after talking to us, he was off to throw out the first pitch at tonight's Diamondbacks game. Go get him, Ian.
So I think that goes without comment what can happen when he wasn't expecting anything. He didn't do that with intentions of getting rewarded, but God rewarded him back. Okay, number three on characteristics or marks of a generous life is on the screen there. It says, willing to use its abilities is the first one, and resources at hand. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So each one has a gift. Every one of you out there has gifts, probably multiple gifts, that you're waiting to use. Well, hats off to our dream team, because that's what makes everything run on Sunday mornings, because that's what they do. They employ the gifts that they have. We've got departments such as parking lot, sound and media, greeters, ushers, prayer team, worship, children's team, A-team, and others. And some of these learned what their gifts were through a process called Growth Track. And that's what we're doing after the service. We do four a month, and this is week four, which is all about 401, which is the Dream Team class. And that's where you can learn where you can employ your gift. You've got some gift. It might be administrative. It might be with children. It might be serving in the parking lot. But you can find out about what we do, and we want to get you involved as quickly as possible. So that would be right after the service. Now, maybe you have construction or building skills. You can use those on a short or long-term mission trip. And we have a mission trip that's coming up real soon. And Wesley and Jamie are leading that. There's Wesley in the back. And they're going to go to Haiti on Thanksgiving week. And so they're going to be raising money to finish up a bathroom. They've already got some running water there, but they're going to be finishing it up when they get to the village there in Haiti. And we'll be having a yard sale on the 8th of November, so you can bring your things if you'd like to help us sell something or come and buy something and donate towards the Haiti trip. That's just an awesome opportunity. I just strongly recommend missions trip. They will change your life. I've been on them, and my children have been on them, and it changes us. All right, number four is intentionally gives money for eternal purposes. So that is a part of giving, is giving our money. And Romans 12:13, the end of that verse says, contributing to the needs of the saints and practicing hospitality. Now, some examples of how you can give your money is that sometimes you may know of a need in the church. You may know of a person who has a personal need, and you can give to that need. And I would recommend most of the time to give anonymously, to be a blessing to them. And it will bless them. It fills the need. That's what we're called to. We're part of a church that helps each other out, and we look for those opportunities. Number two is you can give towards someone's need that you meet out in daily life. And we all have a daily life out there. We're around people. Pastor Bill talked about the God's Love You cards that you can give to a drive-through cashier. You can give them the card, and it just tells them that you love you, a little something from God, and it has our meeting time on it, and you just paid for their bill, and the person who's behind you, driving up behind you in line at a fast food line. That's another way you can do that, is you can give towards someone, and it does bless them, and there's stories of people who've come to know the Lord and come back to church as a result. Number three is you can give to the homeless. And I, being an outdoor sales, I'm out on the streets a lot in Gainesville, and I will come up on the homeless, and I have over the years many, many times. And one thing I do is I like to buy people meals. At first, I used to give people cash a lot, but I found out that that wasn't always the best thing to do, because sometimes cash would not go towards meals. It would go through other habits in their lives and wasn't very prosperous that way. So you might want to think about that, but they're out there, and we need to love on these people. God loves them, just like that person that we talked about the Samaritan seen on the side of the road, and he took care of his wounds and healed them. You can give them clothes, too, by the way, to the homeless. And then the last example I have, and there's other examples, but the last one I've written down is to give to missionaries. I mean, this is God's heartbeat. And last week, we had Pastor Rick Warren talk about missions and how important that is. That's a heartbeat of Brendan, myself. Now, in our very first year of marriage, we spent two full months down in Mexico City, and it completely changed my life. I've wanted and have given to missions ever since. We've given to places like Mexico, Europe, India, Pakistan, and Africa, and other places, and some of these places very regularly. And we get reports back. It's not just giving there, not knowing anything. We want to find out what's going on. We have missionaries that send us regularly monthly newsletters, and we're just so blessed that we can help see the kingdom of God. And there's been thousands of churches formed. We went down to the very first church in Mexico that started down there through the ministry we were in, and it spread to dozens of churches all over Mexico, with local pastors being raised up, and even spread and overflowed into Guatemala. All right, the next section we're going to go over is called The Benefits of a Generous Life. And I like what Pastor Rick Warren said last week, that we don't give to get. It's not about, God, if I just give this amount in, you're going to give back to me. And that's not what it's all about. We give because we want to bless people. And then God will give, as he sees we're faithful with what we give, he'll give us more so we can be a blessing more. And so that's what the benefits are. I'm going to read a passage. Then this is one of my favorite memory scriptures that I've memorized over the years about God's blessings on us. It's 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 12. It says, "Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Let each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that always, having all sufficiency in everything, that you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. For this ministry of service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is overflowing through many thanksgivings to God." Can you see all the superlatives in there? The God always coming through, more, more, more. That just gets me excited every time I read that passage. So the first benefit, number one in your sheet there, is the favor of God. Psalm 112:5 said, "It is well with the man who is gracious and lends. He will maintain his cause in judgment," or that judgment can be interpreted in goodness. 2 Corinthians 9:8, just out of the passage that we just read, it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always, having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed." So God wants to bless us in everything that we do. And so he's getting us there. We're not all there yet. I'm not there yet, but I'd love to be able to bless every missionary in the world. But we can do our part, can't we? Amen to that? Amen. All right, the second benefit of a generous life is what we call real prosperity. Real prosperity. Proverbs 11:25 says, "The generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered." So when we give, there's a replenishing. One of the things that Brenda and I like to do is we like, when we go out to eat, we like to ask our server if there's something that we can pray for you. Anything can we pray for in your family or whatever, and we've been doing that for quite a few years. We didn't originate that, start that. We learned that from the Duckworths, who used to be in our church here, and they moved to Atlanta, but I just really thought that was cool the first time I saw them do that, so I've been doing it ever since. Well, last year, before the group went to Haiti in Thanksgiving of November of 2013, Brenda took Jamie out, and they were on the other side of the town in, at a Japanese restaurant, and she asked the server, and they prayed with the server. Well, this server said, she reached out her hands and prayed with them. She was so blessed with that. And then she wrote Brenda a note, and it says, God bless you guys, and thank you for allowing me to pray with you. I truly needed that. Thanks again, Meg. I just thought that was awesome. Well, sometimes not only did I pray with people at restaurants, but if I'm on a phone call, sometimes the Lord will just tell me, you need to pray for this person. So I was going through a little trial with my Capital One card back a couple of months ago. People were hacking into different stores and stuff, and they changed my Capital One card for the second time in a year. So I got on the phone and talked to this lady, and I said, no, I don't. It's not her fault. She doesn't have anything to do with that. I just need to be nice to her. And as she was talking to me, I just felt like she needed prayer. And I felt like she needed prayer for her family, that she was going through something. And I said that. She goes, yes. And so I prayed for her. And this week, I was just leaving the driveway. And as I was leaving my house, the UPS guy came up. And he took out this box. And he said, ooh, somebody got flowers. And I thought, well, Brenda got flowers for something. And I looked on it, though. And it was addressed to me. And so I opened it up. And there's this beautiful pot that you see right up here. And these beautiful roses. And I hope these things last a long time because I like them. And there was a note in here. And the lady's name just so happened to be Brenda that was on the other line that I talked to a couple months ago. She says, I just wanted to take a moment and let you know how much I valued our conversation. Thank you for being a loyal customer. Sincerely, Brenda. So she just, and she didn't have to do that. That was like 3 months later. And I just think it came this week just to bless me because God knew I was going to speak on generosity today. Amen. All right, the next benefit of being a generous person and having a generous lifestyle is number three, it's a legacy of impact. Psalm 37, verses 25 through 26 says, I have been young, now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread. All day long, he is gracious and lends, and his descendants are a blessing. So descendants, that's our children, our grandchildren. The Bible says they're blessed. All of my children are blessed. My grandchildren are blessed. Your children are blessed, and your grandchildren are blessed. But you might say, Pastor Carl, you don't know what's going on with my children and grandchildren. Well, let's just pray right now, because this is what we stand on. God says all of his promises are yes and amen. That means so be it. So we have to apply God's scriptures to our circumstance. So let's just bow right now and pray for our children and grandchildren right now and break the power of the enemy. Lord, we just thank you so much for our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. Lord, we pray right now that you said our descendants are a blessing and that they won't go without. Lord, we pray right now that if they need you, Lord, that you would meet their needs in Jesus' name. If they need salvation, we pray, Lord, that you would bring salvation to them now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. All right, number four is impact with honor. In 1 Samuel 2:30, it says, for those who honor me, I will honor. I went on last year, Brent and I usually go on a trip to the Caribbean on our anniversary. We didn't go this year because we went somewhere else, but last year was our third trip on the Norwegian Sky, and when we were there, I got a call about 2 or 3 days before we left, and this lady goes, Mr. Cranes, we want to upscale you to a suite for $300, and I said, no, I don't know. I don't know if I want to be in a suite for $300, because I thought it was $300 a person. She said, no, it's $300 total, one, because they charge you per person. She goes, no, total. Well, what do I get for that? She goes, well, you get a suite with a sauna bath, you get a concierge, you get a butler, you get fruit, as much fruit as you want all day, wine, drinks, whatever you want. You get a balcony. You get a concierge that will take you on the boat, take you off the boat. You get to go see the captain. You get to sit with the captain's staff and eat with him. I said, really? I said, sign me up. Because usually just to get a presidential suite, or whatever they called it, is like $1,500 a person. So they were doing it for $150 a person, like 10% of it. I said, fine with me, go for it. So I just love going on trips because I just have a heart for people that I see that are internationals. And internationals work on these boats. And our concierge, he was from Honduras, and I just started sharing with him. He came back to my room one day, and we prayed. He wanted to get connected back with God in a deeper way. God baptized him in the Holy Spirit right in the room. And then when I tried to give the man a tip when I was leaving the boat, because he walks us, we get to go off a special exit when we leave. We don't have to wait in line with our suitcases or anything. So when we were exiting, I told him I wanted to give him a tip. He goes, no. He says, you cannot give me a tip. You have already blessed me more than you can imagine. So we were really touched by that. Number five is treasures in heaven. Treasures in heaven. 1 Timothy 6:18 through 19 says, instruct them to do good, be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. So I'm going to put a picture up of the first time we went on the trip to the Norwegian sky. This is back in 2010, the first of three trips. I'm going to tell you the brief edited story of what happens when you're generous to somebody, the domino effect that it can have. There's a lady sitting right between Brent and I, right behind us. That is Elena. Elena is from Nicaragua, and we did our normal, when she waited on us at our table on the ship, we asked her if we could pray for her. She was so touched. She was going through so many trials, and we told her we were Christians. She goes, oh, you need to meet our pastor, Pastor Keith, and he worked in there, and he came up. Pastor Keith is the guy with the glasses next to the guy in the blue shirt behind, kind of diagonally behind Brenda. He kind of was their pastor of their group. He came up and meet us and goes, oh, God must have sent you here. We want you to speak to our Wednesday night group. And I said, sure, what time? He said, 11:30. I said, okay, 11:30. These people were committed. So we went there. We prayed with them. I'd been out. I just can't help it when I see internationals in the Bahamas. We were in the Bahamas, and I was out sharing with people in the booths and stuff, giving out tracts, praying for people. And so I taught them how to share their faith that night. And when we were done, this young man in the front with the blue shirt there, that's Sadesh. He's from India. Sadesh came up. He was going through a trial, and he said to pray for him. We prayed for him. Then the next morning, actually for lunch, it was our last day, and Sadesh found us out on the deck eating lunch, and he comes running up all excited. He says, Pastor Carl, I'm so excited. I did what you told us to do last night. I asked my two roommates if they knew for sure when they go to heaven, if they would die. They said, no, I prayed for them, and they both received Christ. Yay. And he said, do you call it the divine something? I said, divine appointment. Yes, it was the divine appointment. And he says, did you have a divine appointment today, Pastor Carl? And so 2 years later, we came back on the ship. Sadesh was back on the ship. He came up to me, and he told me about those two men. Neither one of them were on the Norwegian sky anymore. One of them ended up in Europe somewhere in Great Britain. The other one, he said, Carl, you would not believe what happened to one of those two guys. He is now in India. He travels village to village. He preaches the word. He has a gift of what they call healing. He sees miracles, and he travels all over India preaching the word of God. And he says, and he's been to some conference with some guy named Benny Hinn that came there and prayed for them, and they gave them the gift. He has a gift of miracles now, Pastor Carl. And I said, that is awesome. So, and then Sadesh's wife got saved, and they're working on his mother, and I haven't heard from him in a while, but just, you know, that's just from us being nice to that young lady in the back. And I thought she was part of the group, the lady from Nicaragua, Elena. She'd never been to their group before. It was her first time to be in that group. They've been trying to get her for a while, and Pastor Keith said, Carl, we've tried, but this is her first time to come. So that's just what can happen if you just show a little generosity to one person. Amen. Our generosity, the next slide, is a reflection of the generosity of God. You can put that in your blank there, the generosity of God. How can you flow in this generosity? Well, let's begin with this foundation. And I've learned this, and sometimes it's hard to really take hold of this, but it's true. Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord and all it contains, the world and all those who dwell in it." Everything is God's. So everything we get, it just should flow right through us to people. God will always supply it. He'll bless you back, just like the stories. I'm sure some of you have stories like that, too, where God's blessed you back. So in the passage we read earlier, it says, "Don't give compulsively, but give cheerfully." So back when I had my business failure, I was giving, I would literally get out a calculator and figure out how could we get enough money to get by, because I was always never having enough. And no matter how hard I worked, and I was a tither, I gave 10% of my income, but I was moving in fear. And so I realized that God wanted to bless me, even in the middle of a huge business failure. My friend called me on the phone, and he said, "Carl, do this. No matter what you went through, God loves you, and he wants to turn it around. Just believe that God wants to bless you." That's all he said. He said, "Now you can back that up by taking some scriptures, because you need to get that into yourself. So read scriptures, memorize scriptures on God's promises, and that's what you need to do. Meditate and say God's promises." Meditate and say God's promises. So I got a part-time job. It was speaking God's word. Speaking God's word. And you show that your faith is real by James 2:20 says, "But you are willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless," or one version says dead. So I started to want to give. I wanted to give, and God blessed us as we gave. All right, so you might say, "Well, Pastor Carl, right now I'm going through some tough times. I'm short on finances all the time, and I can relate to your business failure, but I can't relate to the promises and the blessings that you're talking about." And by the way, we've been blessed with a business for the last 25 years, and God's just blessed us tremendously. And you might say, "Well, I like that. I like God to be a little more generous to me, because I really want to do what you're talking about. I would like to be generous to other people, just like you talked about today." Well, God wants you to do that. And maybe you've just been afraid that you think, "Well, if I give something, I don't know if God will give back." Let's just bow our heads for prayer and ask God to give us a new look at generosity. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much that you're generous. Lord, you're so generous that while we were yet, all of us were yet sinners, you died for us. And Lord, as we've received you, you've made us sons and daughters. We're adopted into your kingdom, into your family, Lord. We are your sons and daughters. We are so thankful for that. So, Lord, I pray for everyone who's struggling financially, struggling to even be willing to give, Lord, that you would show them you are generous to them. And, Lord, right now, I just rebuke the fear off of anyone and everyone that has been struggling. Just say that under your breath. Say, "Lord, I'm sorry for the fear. I'm sorry for the doubt. Lord, thank you, Lord. I just tell that fear and doubt, leave me now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for generosity that you promised me in your word. And Lord, I just thank you for opportunity, for divine appointments, Lord, to be generous to people. And I just receive that now in Jesus' name." Now also, maybe you've never started your walk to be generous with God. Now's the time. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off till tomorrow. No, there is no promise for tomorrow. Today's the day. You came here today because God's been generous towards you. He loves you so much that he died for you and rose from the dead. So I want everybody to bow their head again. And you might be in one of these two categories. You might say, "Carl, I've never received Jesus Christ into my life. I've never actually prayed for him to come into my life and change me and be a follower of him." Or number two, you might say, "Well, I've done that, but I've kind of gone my own way, and I'm not really following the Lord like I should, and I know I need to get back on track today." Without anybody looking around, we don't want to embarrass anybody. If you're in one of those two categories, would you raise your hand, and I'd like to pray for you. Does anybody need to receive the Lord the first time or get back on track? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord. Okay, well, let's all just pray this prayer, and everybody pray it together with me, and let's pray for them right now. Say, "Dear Father, I know I'm a sinner, and I need your help. And I believe right today that Jesus came and died on the cross for my sins. And then he rose from the dead that I might be able to receive him and follow him and be his son or daughter. So right now, I turn away from anything that you show me might be sin and ask you to forgive me of my sins and come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. And right now, I say with my mouth that I am a Christian. I love you, Lord, and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand.
Amen. Praise God.
Thank you so much.